Today, we'd like to study the title of Our Iniquities in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 to 15. To online world members, we'd like to suggest three questions. Online ministries, such as online word or e-books, are rarely impacted by finance, but offline ministries are de facto impacted by finance. Our staff members make to reduce the impact in the support. Question 1, in verse 1, when these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the land with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. What are the abominations in this context? Question 2. In verse 6, and I said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Why did Ezra call our iniquities, although he did not commit that sin? Last question, 3, in verses 6 through 15, what points did Ezra recognize in his prayer? What points did Ezra recognize in his prayers? First of all, brief background, which we see. At the time of the 70 years captivity to Babylonians, Cyrus, the Persian king, in the light of God's mercy and grace, issued the decree to allow Israelites at their own free will to return to the land of Israel and build the temple to worship God. By Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the leaders, about 50,000 Israelites returned to the land of Israel in 536 before Christ and built the temple of troubles. And they offered the sacrifices and reinstituted the worship of God in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, upon another decree over Artaxerxes, the Persian king, in 458 before Christ, Ezra, as governor, returned with about 2,000 men and their family to the land of Israel for the spiritual revival. While later in 445 before Christ, upon the commandment of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah, as the leader, rebuilt the city walls in Jerusalem with some people. See the timetable of Israel's history below. Ezra chapter 8, verse 35 and 36, the children of those who had been carried away captive, who had come from the captivity, offered the burnt offering to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, and 12 male goats as a sin offering. And this was a burnt offering to the Lord. And they delivered the king's, king is Artaxerxes, king's orders to the king's satraps and the governors in the region beyond the river. So they gave support to the people and the house of God. Then chapter 9, verse 1, when these things were done, so Ezra chapter 8, verse 35-36, done, the leaders came to Ezra, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands, which means they did not keep holy. Because in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, God told to Moses, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God commanded Israel people to keep holy. So unfortunately here, have not separated themselves from the pagan peoples. So which meaning they did not keep holiness. With respect to the abomination. Abomination is a question one. What are the abominations of the Canaanite in this context? Abomination literally meaning hatred thing. So, but we are looking for in the context continually. Of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Verse 2 says, for or because they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons. So abominations are taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons. So which meaning? Intermarriage with the pagan people. That is abomination. So that the holy seed is mixed with the peoples of those land or pagan people. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and rulers has been foremost in this trespass. So here's the leaders, not good example for the people, because the leaders who intermarried with the pagan people. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, God specially commanded to Israelites, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughters for your son. Why? God is not racial discriminator. Rather than why? First of all, because they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. God against pagan worship. So also that happened in the time of Judges 2, Judges chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. Also, the King Solomon committed this sin too. The first King, chapter 11, verse 1 and 4. 1. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. The first wife. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. For it was so when Solomon was old, and his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Also, next time of Nehemiah, the leader, also Israel people committed this sin too. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23. In those days, Nehemiah days, to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, those days Nehemiah also saw Jews who had married women over Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, so committed sin too. So the problem is a pagan worship. In New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, God does not recommend believers intermarried with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with the darkness? Then, verse 3. So when I heard this thing, this trespass meaning intentional sin, sin is a general term, I heard this sin, I tore my garment and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard. That's signs of self-abasement or humility. So Ezra expressed sorrow for sin, this sin, and sat down and astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the word of God of Israel, or everyone who feared God, the word of God, faithful remnant right here, assembled to Ezra, because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive because of this sin. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifices. Verse 5, at the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting. Ezra has been sitting all day with torn garments, plucked hairs, and fasting until the evening. Then I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. Now he was praying fervently, spreading out his hands to the Lord. Verses 6 to 15, the content of Ezra's prayer. And I said, O my God, to whom, O my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities. Ezra identified himself with that sin, although he did not commit it, because he was praying for the holy nation of Israel, including all one people's repenting prayer. So, in the New Testament, you know, some people commit sin, which meaning the body of Christ, which is a local church, is not holy, unholiness. So all people together pray for repenting. Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Now while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing this intermarriage sin, weeping and bowing down before the house of God, a very largely assembly of men, so all one nation of Israel, one nation of remnant, a very large assembly of men, women, and children, even children. Children probably were single, but children together gathered to Ezra from Israel, for the people wept very bitterly. So they repent, they all together confess, because they considered that God asked the Israel people, the holy people, you know, entire one people. So then now we see the 5 points over Ezra's prayer, which we recognize. Ezra recognized, number one, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. So our iniquities are serious. How much? Higher than our heads and up to the heavens. So then, number two, verse 7. Since the days of our father to this day, we have been very guilty. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation, as it is this day. This is a sin's effect others. So our father's sin affect to us to this day. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So sin affect. So sin resulted in the hand of foreign kings and subject to sword, captivity, and subject to plunder, subject to humiliation. So as it is this day. So since the fact in others, next generation too. Verse 8 and 9, and now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. God's grace allowed some of Israelites is to be able to escape from their captivity as slaves, to give us a peg or a nail in his holy place. So some people returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of a revival in our bondage. So God allowed us a revival, or a spiritual revival. For we were slaves, yet, however, our God did not forsake us in our bondage. That's God's grace and mercy. But he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia. God allowed the king of Persia to return some remnant to the land of Israel, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. So here, the third point, Ezra recognized God's grace and mercy upon the remnant. God's grace and mercy upon the remnant. Now, number four, verses 10 and 12. 10 and 12. And now, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the land, with their abominations or idol worships, which you have filled it from one end to another, with their impurity. So explains God's commandment. Verse 12, now therefore do not give your daughters as wives. So general commandment explained into particular commandment here. Verse 12, now therefore do not give your daughters as wives for their son, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. So here, confess the sin to violate God's commandment against intermarriage with pagan people. So that is a fourth point. Last point, the fifth point, verse 13. to 15. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt. So our guilt is serious, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquity deserves. So God punished us because God is righteous or God is just. But God punished less than that level over our guilt. So less than our iniquity deserves, and have given us such deliverance as it is, should we again break your commandment and join in marriage with the people committing this abomination. So we marriage with these people with idol worshiping. Would you not be angry with us until you had consumed us, so that there would be no remnant or survival? If God preserves justice or righteousness, nobody could stand before God, or everybody would be consumed, so there would be no remnant or survival. O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, although no one can stand before you because of this, because of our guilt. So, no one can stand in God's righteousness or justice, but in God's mercy and grace, we as the remnant can stand. So, in the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness or laziness, slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So because of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, so can the remnant survive. So let's see each question answer. In verse 1, when these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. What are the abominations in this context? The abomination are, verse 2 is taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons. That's the answer. Question 2 in verse 6. And I said, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Why did Ezra call our iniquities, although he did not commit that sin? Question 2, answer. Ezra identified himself with that sin, although he did not commit it, because he was praying for the holy nation of Israel, incurring all one people's repenting prayer. So last question 3, in verses 6 through 15, what points did Ezra recognize in his prayer? So first is serious sins, verse 6, then is verse 7, sins affect others, verses 8 to 9, God's grace and mercy upon the remnant. Fourth point is 10 to 12, so Ezra confess the sin to violate God's commandment against intermarriage with pagan people. The last point, the fifth point, no one can stand would be in God's righteousness, justice, but in God's mercy and grace. Let's just sing song all together, last song on bulletin, then we are going to pray together.